If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening, America. Welcome to A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Welcome to our Tuesday evening edition of AJC Radio right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Cliff Ethel, how you guys doing this evening?
Doing good.
We're doing great.
Glad to be here.
Hey, ready to start a new year?
Yes.
And get this thing rolling. So this evening, we got a lot of things going on. We got different folks that's going to be on the show. Before we do that, Cliff, let's give some shout-outs.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Duke Brooks of Conservative Nation Media. Without Duke, you would not be hearing us here right now. He offered us up this spot. We appreciate it, Duke. Also, to Scott Osborne of the Underground Hard Drive for our Thursday night slot, we want to say, Scott, that we appreciate you and all you guys over there on Underground Hard Drive for all that you're doing for Just Cause and the ARP6. We really appreciate it.
And I think also we got to throw in there Michael Smith. And Stephen.
Stephen, yes.
Also,
yes.
So, you know, we've had quite a bit of dialogue back and forth as we were closing out last year and now starting this year, and everyone's all ramped up and ready to go. Let's get this disclaimer in here. Cliff, Ethel, and I are not attorneys, and A Just Cause Coast to Coast does not provide legal advice, so please contact your personal legal advisor for your legal needs. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests on the program do not necessarily reflect that of A Just Cause Coast to Coast or A Just Cause or ConservativeNationMedia.com. And as always, we always like to tell our listeners that we want to thank you for tuning in and choosing to spend a Tuesday evening with us
absolutely.
As we talk about some of the problems that that we encounter in our judicial system. So tonight we are going to have our exoneree moment. We're going to have Gloria Killian, and that's going to be a very interesting story. That's in the second half of our program and at the top of the second hour. And Gloria, she's spent, what, like 17 years in prison for something that she did not do. And Ethel, I think you guys met her at the Innocence Project conference last year, right?
We sure did. We sure did.
So
very nice woman.
Yeah, that ought to be a really good exchange. And I think Gloria's written a book as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in that segment, we're going to have LaWanna Clark. And LaWanna, she was on one of our previous programs, and she was wrongly convicted and wrongly incarcerated associated with the IRP6 case.
Right.
And so LaWanna is going to be calling in and joining in that conversation. Our overall theme this evening is going to be about women being incarcerated and some of the things associated with that. So we're going to hit on a couple of articles on that here in a moment as well. And one note on the LaWanna Clark case. On that story and on that show, she is our top-rated show as far as listeners going into the archives and listening to the – and this was actually on the Encore presentation.
Wow.
So not even talking about numbers for the original and some of the other archive, but the Encore presentation is like, you know, 195 listeners or something like that have gone in there to listen to that.
Awesome.
Now, as far as call to action – with the IRP6 case, and to give a quick overview, those who've been following the story, you know that the IRP6 case was about six individuals, our friends, our brothers. You're talking about Gary Walker, David Banks, Dave Zerpolo, Demetrius Harper, Clinton Stewart, and Kendrick Barnes, and they were wrongly convicted. They are currently sitting in the federal prison in Florence, and now what, it's going on like 17 months? That they have been wrongly incarcerated. There are over 200 pages of transcript that are missing, and Judge Arguello, the federal judge in this case, has basically blocked those pages from being delivered, and then Darlene Martinez, the court reporter, has also not delivered those pages from the transcript. So we are pushing for Attorney General Eric Holder to release those pages. A Just Cause has filed a lawsuit against Darlene Martinez, as well as the court, to deliver those pages. But in order to help to facilitate that a little bit more, Ethel, what's some of the things we got going on?
Well, we're asking our listeners out there to make a phone call on behalf of the IRP6. Call Attorney General Eric Holder's office at 202-514-2003 and 2005 and ask him to do an inquiry, an investigation, or whatever it takes into the over 200 missing pages of the trial transcript. We need that transcript. The guys need that transcript. And for whatever reason, Judge Arguello, and we know what reason, she will not release that transcript.
And folks can find out more information about the IRP6 case by going out to Free the IRP6. That's the number 6.org, freetheirp6.org. And if anyone knows anything about this case and can help point us in the right direction, we have a tip line, and that phone number is listed there on the website. And talking about a phone number tonight, callers, if you'd like to talk, call into the program. And if you have a question or comment, you can call in at 718-305-7176. Again, 718-305-7176. And also to go along with what Ethel was saying, mm-hmm. we have that petition that's still going out there on change.org. So go out to change.org, put in a search on IRP6. And, guys, you know, that petition is actually it's doing pretty well. It's approaching 650 supporters now.
Awesome.
And that's with, you know, over the holidays, that number has just been going up. And, you know, but there's been a lot of activity.
Yeah.
I mean, think
yeah.
about this last weekend. We had Pastor Banks was on with Dr. Wilmer Leon on Sirius XM on Inside the Issues with Dr. Wilmer Leon, and that was on Sirius XM 110. I mean, mm-hmm. did you guys hear that?
She was on, I tell you. She was on.
And you know, and Ethel, you and the pastor were also on a couple of weeks before that on December 21st. And so I know we already have the archive of the December 21st show,
right.
and it's posted. Mm-hmm. And so we're just waiting on clearance to get the show from last week. And so folks would, I mean, they don't want to miss out on that.
Exactly.
Cliff, what are some of the other things folks can do as far as helping the IRP6?
Well, if you have a national platform out there or you know someone with a national platform that can help us, you know, escalate and put the information out there more on a broader base, we need somebody to reach out to us that can help us on a national level, that can say, hey, I can get it to the ears of some more people. I can get it out there, you know, louder and in a bigger way. We need to hear from you. Give us a call, you know, email us, Skype us, ping us on Facebook. However you want to get in touch with us, let us know that you're out there, that you're willing to help us to push this to a higher level.
And then, you know, we put out press releases from time to time. You can go out to the AJCradio.com, and then you can also go to A Just Cause and do a search on the press releases.
Yes.
You know, one stat that I got to throw out there, we were talking about it just before the show. Last week we put out a press release that was focusing on the fact that Gary Walker, one of the IRP6, in 2006 and in 2009, he wrote letters to the former FBI, to now former FBI director, Robert Mueller.
Right.
And the FBI director did nothing. As a matter of fact, the letter that Gary wrote in 2006 got sent to the folks who Gary was complaining about. And so it's like, you know, the fox watching the hen house.
Exactly.
And then the letter that was sent in 2009, here again, Gary is pouring out his heart and saying, you know, hey, we have done nothing wrong. And what, like we said in one of the previous shows, if you have done something wrong, then you want to get exposure.
That's
you want
right.
to say, hey, we need help.
Yeah.
Look at this. So folks, go out there and look at that press release. And also attached to that press release are copies of Gary's letter.
Yeah.
And the stat that I pulled was just that press release is now at 183,950 impressions.
Wow.
And when did that get posted?
Last week.
That's awesome.
That's
totally awesome.
That is quite a large number for that few days.
That is by far the best performing press release that we've ever put out there.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of the fact that, you know, you're showing something and you're exposing something, which Just Cause is about, exposing something where, you know, you go to the folks who should be able to do something and they did nothing.
Exactly.
You know? That's exactly what it talks to. I mean, when you show the public that, hey, you went through the right channels. Here's Gary as a small business CEO that reaches out to the FBI to say, hey, I'll show you everything that you want to, that you want to see, that proves that I'm innocent. And what does he do? Throws it back in his face and says, you know, deal with the people who are falsely accusing you.
Yeah.
And that is totally ridiculous, because how are you going to ever get justice if the Justice Department just pushes you back mm-hmm. to the people who are mistreating you? It's totally wrong.
Yeah.
And I think the public is actually getting to see it in the light that, hey, this man reached out to the director. And what did he do? Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's status quo, though, for what we're seeing in yeah. these types of situations. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to stop us from pushing, and we're going to keep pushing until someone takes note. And you know, people are taking note.
Yeah. And
go ahead, Evan.
No. I just wanted to say one thing, too. And Dr. Leon said this on his show to his listeners. He said, I'm asking people to go out and make that phone call. And he said, if you get three of your friends, and that's what we're asking you tonight.
Right.
Get three of your friends as well to make that phone call to Attorney General Eric Holder's office and ask him to investigate the case of the missing transcript for the IRP 6. Three of your friends.
That's right. And you know, we can have a big explosion, you know, with
exactly.
something like that going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, later in the program, we also got, and that's going to be coming up here real soon, we got some articles that we're going to look at as far as injustice in the land, and then our conservative champions moment. You know, over the last several weeks, we found that we get a lot of support, or have gotten a lot of support, from the conservative movement.
Yeah.
And that's actually part of the agenda, and that's something that needs to be part of the national agenda because of the fact that the issues with overcrowding, overcriminalization, mass incarceration,
yeah.
wrongful convictions,
yeah.
all that stuff.
All of it.
It's just, you know, it's getting out of control, and I think people in Congress are starting to take note. Cliff.
ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
All right, and so let's jump right to a couple of news stories. And, you know, one of the ones that we pulled this evening is talking about overcrowded federal prisons. And, you know, the irony here, and I kind of chuckle a little bit, because of the fact we have six of our brothers mm-hmm. that are locked up in the federal prison in Florence, Colorado. They're not allowing them, not allowing the media to get access to them, which is a right that they have. And then, you know, and the thing that they were accused of, because they are not guilty of anything, they were wrongly convicted, but what they were accused of is a nonviolent act. And so, you know, and now here you have Director Charles E. Samuels, Jr. He's the director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons, mm-hmm. and he's before Congress. This just happened at the end of November. And basically talking about, you know, my guards are in danger because we're overcrowded.
Yeah.
But they continue to put people in prison.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, you know, when you look at this article and he's saying, you know, they're looking at all kinds of different things that they could do mm-hmm. to ease the tension on the prison population. And they were talking about, you know, I love this statement. It says, Samuels urged lawmakers to pass the Second Chance Reauthorization Act. And it's like, and so basically they're rewarding inmates for reduced prison sentences for good behavior.
Mm-hmm.
What about the guy who never did anything wrong in
Thank
the first
you.
Place?
And you can see that, you know, the legislature is like, no, we have to have the prison complex. We're getting paid for every person that is in there. And Samuel says in this article, we are facing significant challenges that mm-hmm. are ultimately putting our staff at risk, putting prisoners at risk, and the community at risk. So he understands what's going on. He knows that the system is broken and it needs to be dealt with. And I think this is an excellent thing that he's trying to pass here. I wonder if it'll ever get a chance to even get voted on.
And, you know, it goes right back to, and it's weird how this goes hand in hand with Eric Holder's speech back in August when he was saying, you know, we got overcrowding, we got people that are in prison that shouldn't be there. Samuel says that there's a system-wide problem with overcapacity.
Really?
Says there's 36% overcapacity overall. There's 51% crowding at high security facilities, and then 45% overcapacity at medium security prisons. I mean, they just got issues, but it's almost like in the public eye. They talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay, we want them to do something
That's
about
right.
it.
Do
this
it
is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We'll be right back after this.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, along with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. And this is our Tuesday evening edition of A Just Cause Coast to Coast right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. This evening we are going to be talking about more articles that are in the news as far as injustice. We're going to come back in a few minutes with our Conservative Champions moment. We have Gloria Killian going to be joining us for our exoneree moment at the top of the next hour, along with LaWanna Clark. And we're going to talk about the effects of incarceration on women and all the things associated with that. And so, I mean, that's going to be an interesting conversation. I know, Ethel, I'm looking forward to that one, because you guys met Gloria
yeah.
at the Innocence Project last year at the Innocence Project conference.
Yeah.
Right now on the phones, we have Jay Arrington. Jay is a staff writer for the Maryland Daily Examiner, and then he is a regular contributor here on A Just Cause Coast to Coast and AJC Radio. Jay, are you there, sir?
Hi, good evening, Sam. How is everybody?
Everybody's doing
good,
great, Jay.
Doing good.
How's your new year shaping up?
It's still 24 hours a day, so nothing's changed.
All right. So for our listeners who may not be familiar with Jay, Jay has been writing a series about the IRP6, and Jay is a very strong supporter of A Just Cause and a strong supporter of the IRP6. And Jay just wrote another installment to his series. What did it come out? Has it been published yet, Jay, or did we just get a preview?
No, it'll probably be published later on this evening. It'll be on the site probably after 12 tonight. But we'll talk about it.
All right. So you're gonna give our listeners a preview, and then once it goes live, we will have it posted on our website as far as links as well. So, Jay, tell us about this next article regarding the IRP6.
Well, thank you, Sam, for having me on again, and hello again to everyone. I as you know, and your listeners may not know, but you know, I've written the last couple of articles that I've written about the IRP-6 have been open letters to Attorney General Holder, and I've kind of established a pen pal relationship with him, and hopefully maybe one day he'll write back. But anyway, the first two letters that I, you know, wrote to him, I decided, you know, to just be frank with him. You know, sometimes, you know, legalese does only go so far. Sometimes you just have to talk in plain English, like Malcolm said, make it plain, you know. So this particular letter, the other day, I happened to be watching Lee Daniels, The Butler, and I was watching the first part of it, and Forrest Whitaker's little boy character, his father's murdered, and the woman, the master's mother, whoever, takes him up to the big house as compensation for his father being murdered in the cotton field. So this particular letter, you know, I was inspired by that scene to write this letter and talk to Attorney General Holder about the 200 missing pages of the transcript. And basically what it's talking about is how a story is not complete if you don't have every part of the story to complete the story. And basically, I told him, I said, you know, if I had not gone back and revisited the story that I was watching, I would have just taken it for granted that the whole story was about somebody being good to colored folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so basically, you know, and I never would have known how the butler got to be the butler that he ended up being. I just would have been able to rely on someone else's narrative and my own imagination. Basically, this is what we're talking about with the missing pages of the transcript. How is it that the transcript was available during the jury's readback? Because for purposes of deliberation, the jury can have any part of the testimony read back to them. So are we supposed to believe that for purposes of readback, 200 pages of transcript was available, but then for purposes of appeal, those 200 pages of transcript suddenly disappeared? So now we're left with our imaginations as to how the IRP-6, what the story, complete story is, or we're left to the narrative that the people that convicted them want us to have. And, you know, basically Judge Arguello and Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch. And I asked Attorney General Holder in a letter, how would that translate to his life? How could you translate that to your life if 200 pages of your life were missing? How would your story be told, you know, and what would, if you had to stand before God with pages of your life missing and Satan only got to tell his side of the story, forgiveness notwithstanding, what would the judgment from God be about your life if he only had the bad parts to listen to?
That's
so
right.
Basically, that's what it's about. And the title of the piece is From the Cotton Fields to the Big House and then a question mark, because we don't know how it ends. So I said to Attorney General Holder, you know, you in this position, you have the power as a publisher and literary autonomy to complete this narrative. So because without that 200 pages of transcript, you know, the story is not told completely.
That's right.
And we are left unsatisfied, and justice is left unrequited.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that's what it's all about. You know, we know from the cotton fields of shattered dreams, the IRP went from there to the big house of servitude. How did they get there? You know,
exactly.
We want to know. How did they get there?
And Cliff, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the IRP-6 did actually ask Judge Arguello, can the jury take a look at this, you know, a certain portion of the transcript, right?
Yeah, and everything that they asked Judge Arguello to show to the jury. I mean, anytime they requested something to be shown from the letter, the affidavit that Gary Hilberry wrote, you know, the retired federal agent that was working with IRP-6, she wouldn't even allow his affidavit. I mean, this is already a sworn court document. She wouldn't allow that to be seen by the jury. When the jury asked, when they were in deliberations, where's the rest of the evidence? We need something else. She wouldn't allow them to see anything. No, what you have is what there is. So it was, you know, as we know, she basically was in conjunction with the prosecutor to ensure that the jury did not have what they needed to understand that these men were innocent. She withheld all the evidence that would exonerate.
That's right.
And she's still doing it with the 200 pages
yeah,
of transcript
exactly.
missing.
Well, that's my whole point. You know, the story is not complete. And without those 200 pages of transcript, we have to rely on what the people who want the story, they want, you know, we have to hear from the people who want the story to be told, they want it to be told, the way
right.
they want it to be told. So we're left without that. And it's just too much of a coincidence. I mean, I liken it to a man who leaves home in perfect condition. He goes and he stands beneath a beehive, and then he says that it's a coincidence that his face is swollen.
Like,
know?
Where are you
in? I mean, no, it didn't happen. It has nothing to do with the bees. Well, it's the same thing with the 200 pages of transcript. Why is it all of a sudden that during the court phase, it was there, but now for purposes of appeal, it's gone, and you're going to try to convince us that it just happens to be a coincidence?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you
insult our intelligence.
Exactly.
You know?
It's kind of like one of those, you know, movies that they don't say this is a true story. This is based on real events. So they don't give you the whole story. They spin it to be, you know, the satire or the comedy or the drama that they want it to be. They can say, well, yeah, we have this that happened, but we're going to add our story to make it read mm-hmm. the way that we want it to be so that the public believes that this is how this came to be. And it's the same way with this situation. The judge wants and she convinced the jury this is the way it happened by withholding evidence from them, and now for the public, she's convincing them that it happened this way because she's withholding the transcript. And that's why we're pushing to say, no, get the transcript out there and let everybody see exactly what happened, not your spin on it, not, you know, this was based on something that happened in court, but 200 pages of like you say, Jay, 200 pages of your life are missing.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, 200 pages is a saga. That's a large book.
Exactly.
You know, that's a large book. I mean, can you imagine trying to read War and Peace with 200 pages of the story missing? You know,
well,
how
you know,
can that? That's not possible.
And to that point, Jay, as everyone knows that we have Mark Garagos and Tina Glandian, along with Gwendolyn Solomon as attorneys who are working that particular issue, and so we expect to hear some really good news. Here soon. We're not going to get into a lot of details on what's going on with the legal case right now, but there are some things that are moving and shaking, and so we will be able to share some of that with our listeners in the coming programs. So, folks, that's Jay Arrington with another open letter to Attorney General Eric Holder, open letter part 3, mm-hmm. Cotton Fields, Big Houses, and question mark. Mm-hmm. And so, Jay, again, as always, the IRP6, they love your writing style. They love the fact that you're committed to this thing all the way through the end.
That's
and
right.
then, and obviously, you know, Cliff and Ethel and I, we appreciate you doing everything, and the families of the IRP6 appreciate everything that you're doing. So folks can go out to the MarylandDailyExaminer.com. Again, MarylandDailyExaminer.com, and just do a search on IRP6, or just look up Jay Arrington and follow the entire series, mm-hmm. or you can go to the IRP, or the, I'm sorry, the Just Cause websites and read those series as well. Your closing
thoughts? Also, just remember, we're going to have the piece by David Banks published too, the double-minded editorial that he wrote.
Excellent, excellent.
Awesome.
Thanks for bringing that up on that, Jay. Yeah, David Banks, one of the IRP6, wrote a piece on double-minded, and David really breaks it down as to the injustice that has gone on with the IRP6 case. And David doesn't pull any punches.
Oh, no.
All right.
And also, you know, just another point about the judge wanting the story to be told. And, you know, the whole system jumping on board with it, you know, the IRP6 is appellant attorney is even having a hard time getting in to see the client, to see them as her clients. She's having to go through all this crap just to say, hey, I want to see my client. She was turned away at one point and not allowed to visit with her clients, and that is a major violation to their right to counsel. So it adds on to the fact that the system wants your story to be told by the system, not by you, not by your attorney, not by anybody that's going to get the real story out there.
Exactly.
They want to tell the story, and they continue to violate the guy's rights. Left.
Yeah, just like they're controlling my mouse right now.
Yeah.
My computer.
All right, Jay. Hey,
okay, God bless, guys. Listening.
God bless you, man. Hey, that's Jay Erickson of the Maryland Daily Examiner, a contributing writer, staff writer for the Maryland Daily Examiner, and a regular contributor here on A Just Cause Coast to Coast. And also want to say thanks to Reggie Kearney, the publisher of the Maryland Daily Examiner. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. You're tuned into A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We'll be right back.
Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a Supply Depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That'll take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins.
Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Yeah,
yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman, Ethel Lopez, Philip Stewart, joining us and joining you on this Tuesday evening. Our Tuesday evening edition of A Just Cause Coast to Coast right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Hey, let's jump to our conservative champions moment. And as we said at the top of the show, you know, we started this conservative champions as a result of the fact that, you know, recognizing where a lot of the support for A Just Cause was coming from. And so, you know, it prompted us to start looking into issues related to the conservative movement and how they are and how we are supporting and pushing for judicial reform. So, Cliff, we find this article about a 10th Circuit Court of Appeals judge.
That's right. Real close to home, right up there, sitting next to crooked Judge Christine Arguello. Well, you know, we always say we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So if you guys haven't believed us before, we're here in our backyard Denver, Colorado, 10th Circuit, right up there with Judge Arguello. We got to give props where props are due. Got to do it.
And that's Judge Neil Gorsuch. And you know, what's ironic about this, and you know, is that in November, the Honorable Neil Gorsuch of the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, he delivered the Barbara K. Olson Memorial Lecture at the Federalist Society's National Lawyers Convention in Washington, D.C. Now, he was speaking on over-criminalization. And you know, when I look at this article, that's why I was looking at it, and I was like, man, you know, you got a judge right here in the 10th Circuit who is talking about over-criminalization, and then you got another judge in the 10th Circuit who is over-criminalizing.
Right.
You know, and so it's like, but some of the things that Judge Gorsuch is saying here is he's talking about the fact that basically what falls under the category of overcriminalization. And, you know, we use that term, but when it comes to the IRP 6, we don't use that term because, you know, to say overcriminalize is to imply that there was some criminal activity in the first place. Mm-hmm. So in the IRP 6 situation, you know, that was just blatant criminalization of a corporate debt collection case. But from a conservative champion's perspective, you know, Cliff, what are some of the things that we want to point out as far as, you know, what Judge Gorsuch is talking about on over-criminalization?
Well, he's talking about the fact that in the judicial system, you know, today we have about 5,000 federal criminal statutes on the books. Most of them have been added in the last few decades. And he says the spigot keeps pouring with literally hundreds of new statutory crimes inked every single year. Neither does that begin to count the thousands of additional regulatory crimes buried in the Federal Register. There are so many crimes cowled in the numbing fine print of those pages that, get this, scholars have given up counting and are now debating their numbers. So there's so many federal crimes that they just stopped counting them. And so basically, this goes right to the fact that, you know, they can indict a ham sandwich because they can call anything a federal crime. They even say that if you use the likeness of Woodsy the Owl that says, give a hoot, don't pollute, that is federal crime. They can put you in federal prison for using Woodsy the Owl. That's ridiculous. So his thing is we need to scrape some of this stuff off the books and find out what really is crime and deal with that instead of criminalizing everything.
And, you know, and I like one of these things that's highlighted here in the article where it says that, and Judge Gorsuch was saying that without written laws, we lack fair notice of the rules we as citizens have to obey.
Mm-hmm.
But with too many written laws, don't we invite a new kind of fair notice problem? And what happens to individual freedom and equality when the criminal law comes to cover so many facets of daily life that prosecutors can almost just choose their target?
Exactly.
It's like, hey, you know, Cliff, I don't like the fact that you wear your, or you know, I could see somebody walking down the street. I don't like the fact that you wear your wristwatch on your right arm. You know, they didn't design them that way. They designed them for when we wore it on the left arm.
Yeah, that's right. You copyright infringement.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like that's breaking the law. And who knows? There might be some law out there that's really stupid like that. But, you know, we want you to go out to rightoncrime.com. Again, that's www.rightoncrime.com. Do a search on Judge Neil Gorsuch on overcriminalization. And that is that's a good article, you know. And like you said, Cliff, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We got to recognize the fact that the Honorable Judge Gorsuch of the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, he is obviously one that is against this criminalizing of everyday activities and over-criminalization. And so I'll get that word out here in a minute.
Yeah, I want to say, you know, thumbs up to Judge Gorsuch. Yeah. We're with you. We're behind you. See, we don't hate all judges.
And try to help your friend out across the way there, Judge Christine Arguello, because she really needs some help.
Our phone number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Cliff, let's go to the phones.
All right. We have our brother from another mother, Scott Osborne. You there, Scott?
Well, howdy, y'all.
Hey, brother.
You must be in Texas.
Uh-oh, does that mean you moved to Texas?
Oh, boy, did we move to Texas. And I'm going to tell you, that is a long ways from California to Texas.
Oh, yeah, in more ways than one.
So I don't know if we have don't know if we've even had an opportunity to say Happy New Year, Scott. So Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, absolutely.
I know, and I'll tell you, this is the first time I've talked on Blog Talk since I've been in Texas. And we got here right before New Year's, and so it was kind of a surreal New Year's. We were celebrating it, but we were all so tired. The kids went ahead and stayed up with us, and we were still just exhausted. But it's been a great move. We're happy so far. It's kind of cold down here, but we're not dealing with any snow, so I'm enjoying that.
Awesome, awesome. So what's going on otherwise, Scott?
Hey, you guys, Jay was right on. Let me tell you, he trying to read War and Peace with 200 pages missing.
Right.
Exactly. And you know, what I wrote down when he said that is insanity sells. And one of the things about this case, about Don Miller's case, about Ryan Ferguson's case, you've got some things in this case. And the big the elephant in the room, as far as I'm concerned, is these 200 pages of missing transcript that catch people's attention. You know, the average Joe might have a hard time understanding the full story from beginning to end. Like with Free Don Miller, it's 3 years, and I still don't know the whole story. But people understand the judicial system making 200 pages of transcripts disappear. People understand that. And
yes.
It seems that, as abhorrent as they are in our judicial system, when it comes time to doing what you guys are trying to do, what Jay's trying to do, what Eric Rush is doing, what I'm trying to do, and that's spread the story, that's a big, huge thing to help spread the story. I'm so excited about Mark Garagos being on that. Because when people start finding out there's 200 pages of transcripts just missing, just like Jay said, you know, it's just coincidence. Yeah, it just kind of disappeared. I don't know where it's at. Where did it go? listen, and I'll tell you, I don't understand. This is what I don't understand, and I said this about Don Miller so many times. I don't understand why the local media isn't all on top of that.
Oh, man.
I understand them, you know, some of the story. Media likes, you know, stuff that's brand new, that's news. But that's huge. That's huge in my books. I really don't understand why the media does that. And I'll tell you, when it comes out, when in the end, when it is a viral story, when these guys are free, the local media is going to look foolish for not presenting this to the people of Colorado especially.
Yeah, and you know, every time we went to the media, you know, when you're having a picket in front of the senator's office, I mean, come on, and the media does not come out, that is that's atrocious, and that should be unheard of. It just shows that, you know, the establishment has the media in their pocket. And, you know, not all the media, because we're here on Blog Talk Radio letting it be known what's going on, but it's ridiculous. It's totally uncalled for.
Hey, Scott, hold that thought just for a second here. Cliff, how about going on to this this read here real quick?
All righty. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
America always wins.
Always wins.
Hey, Scott, you know, just to piggyback on what you were talking about as far as the media not jumping on this, and that's why, you know, A Just Cause has had to, you know, go and get creative and do all kinds of other things. That's where, you know, you came into the picture. That's where Duke Brooks came into the picture. And we also, I mean, we have to give props to Dr. Wilmer Leon. And so, you know, Scott, if you have not had an opportunity to listen to the archives of those shows which have aired, I think it's been on three different occasions
yes.
that Dr. Leon has had A Just Cause on there on Sirius XM Radio 110, Inside the Issues with Dr. Wilmer Leon.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, you would just, I mean, you would have a treat. I mean, there are folks that and unfortunately, Scott, there's one guy down there in Texas who called into one of the shows. And you got to go and listen to the December 21st episode of Dr. Wilmer Leon's show.
Yeah.
There was a guy called in from Texas, man, and he was not with us. He was not of us, Scott. And man, Dr. Leon and Ethel and Pastor Banks had to just kind of put it on blast. And but you'll be treated. Hey, Scott, we're going to take this quick break. We'll come back and get a closing thought from you, and then we're going to jump to our next segment. This is Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We will be right back.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wives Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wives Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice right here on conservativenationmedia.com. On the phones, we have Scott Osborne of Contending for Truth and the Underground Hard Drive. Scott, what's on tap for Scott Osborne in 2014?
Oh, we got big things, big things. You know, I've been talking about a napkin, and I've got some boxes out here. I'm in my studio, which is now in a garage instead of in the backyard because it's kind of cold down here in Texas. But in one of these boxes, there's a napkin, and I've been kind of mysterious about it. And I'm gonna break some news right here on your show.
Uh-oh.
I'll tell you what.
Hey, Scott, do we have to have the button ready?
You might have to. I'm going to tell you what's on that napkin, and I'm going to tell you why it's on. The top of that napkin says snowballs, and the bottom of the napkin says wagon wheels, because Don Miller a couple of weeks ago said something that really kind of put that together too. But I want to start out with snowballs. I was sitting at 2 o'clock in the morning here a few weeks ago, contemplating and looking over Ryan Ferguson's group page. They were getting ready to shut that down and talking about that and different things. And I got to thinking about the team that came together, you, Sam, Cliff, Ethel, Olivia, Julia, Tammy, and the Free Don Miller group and the IRP6 group over the last few months. We just kind of melded together. And we both groups had the same purpose in mind. We got some innocent people sitting in prison that need to be out.
We got
some innocent families that have got their fathers in prison. They need to be out. They're missing their families. They're missing Christmas. They're missing Thanksgiving. They're missing Easter. They're missing their church services, man. They're missing their worship time with God.
That's right.
And I was so amazed at how well our two groups just fit together. I was so amazed with your organization. Oh, wow, you guys have got some organization going on. And the excitement with Don Miller. And so I'm planning something, and it's going to take – I figure it's going to take about 4 or 5 months. We're going to have to wait till it warms up a little bit to get it on the road. But I want us to have a giant Saturday symposium of Blog Talk Radio, of blogs, of Twitter. I want us to take a day, and I want to make sure we get out to America, everybody we can. And I want us to gather some more. You know, when you take a snowball and you put it on the top of the mountain and you roll it down, it just continues to gather snow.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We took the Don Miller snowball and we rolled it into the IRP6 snowball. And now we got a bunch of bigger snowball. And you guys have got a powerhouse, Tammy Silver, one of my good friends and somebody that I respect so highly. She's on board. And she's tweeting or she's Facebooking IRP6 stuff like crazy. She's doing stuff like that. And I want to get a hold of the Ryan Ferguson group. And I want to find about 3 or 4 more cases like this.
Right.
And I want to put it all together. And I want to put us all together through Blog Talk Radio. I want to put us all together through blogs. I want to get Eric Rush involved. I want to get Herman Cain involved. I want to get Fox News involved. And I want a day, a Texas-sized day, where you can get up in the morning and listen to Blog Talk Radio if you want all day. You can get out there and tweet all day. But a full day of wrongful convictions. And I want it to be a giant snowball made up of all the teams. And I'm going to be doing a conference call here shortly. I got a couple more weeks before things get calmed down here in Studio Mesquite. Some things going on, just homeschool started. But I'm going to be planning a conference call and inviting some people. And we put a teamwork together. I learned something with Herman Cain. And Herman Cain started all this. The reason I'm on Facebook, the reason I'm on Blog Talk, all of that is because Herman Cain said, you know, I need a team, and I decided to be a part of the team, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot about Facebook. I learned a lot about Twitter. I learned a lot about Blog Talk. And we're going to put together a team of a lot of people that are willing to work really, really hard for this, and we're going to make sure that one day, one Texas-sized day, in a few months, maybe late spring, early summer, we'll find a date, where this country knows there's some insanity going on.
That's right.
Going to be size snowball. It's going to be like wagon wheels. You know, Don Miller talked about the wagon wheel and how you've got different spokes and different groups, but they all come together to make one wheel. And
right.
At the bottom of my thing, there's a wagon wheel. And we've got some great connections. You know, you guys had a great show last Thursday night, and you talked about a lot of this. And we talked about, you know, it can happen to you. And we need to make sure the American people understand. And you just talked about it with the federal laws and the federal legislations and Woodsy the Owl. You know, it can happen to any of us.
Yeah.
And we've got to get some more media access. We have a hard time doing that. We have to make our own. We're going to become a voice for the people. We're going to get people like Dr. Leon and John Lewis and Jay Arrington. We're going to get them all together in a giant Texas-sized snowball, and we're going to make sure the voice gets out. So that's what's on my napkin, folks.
Awesome.
And if you're find me on Facebook, get a hold of Cliff and Sam or Olivia or Ethel or Julia or anybody and say, I want to be a part of this. And we're going to put together a Texas-sized team and a Texas-sized day and a Texas-sized snowball. I pass it back to you.
And you know what, Scott, that actually, and you know, when you were calling off the names, you know, I think about like, you know, Wayne Dupree and folks like that.
Yeah.
And you know, part of the vision of A Just Cause has always been to be a national organization, mm-hmm. and be part of a larger movement. And so, you know, when you talk about something like that, that actually falls right in line with where A Just Cause is actually headed. And you know, we are, getting those inroads into a lot of organizations.
Yeah.
We are getting a lot of prominent folks that are on board as far as supporting a just cause. And, and when I say a just cause, you know, I'm talking, you know, just like what you're saying, the overall initiative.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about the underground hard drive, when you talk about contending for truth,
mm-hmm.
and all the other, and we have a list of, God, what 30-some-odd organizations
exactly.
That we have been aligned with over the last several months. And Scott, like Cliff said early on, when contending for truth and when you guys, you know, said, hey, a just cause mm-hmm. needs to be on the air, when Duke Brooks and Conservative Nation Media said you guys need to be on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the beginning, Scott. It's just the beginning.
And all that with the strength in numbers, you know, that's when you make things happen. When you've got groups of people coming together, you know, for the same cause.
That's right. You know, no one can do it in a silo, you know. We can have a whole lot of little small initiatives going on, but when you get everyone together and somebody's aid, and I don't want to give anybody any props that ain't really done anything for us, but we'll just say a congressional aide
mm-hmm.
made a comment to that effect, Ethel, and she stated that if a lot of the congressmen would come together
mm-hmm.
in Washington, D.C., they could make something happen.
That's right.
But they're all concerned about themselves. It's all about, you know, me, me, me.
That's it.
You know, and a lot of them, it's like their time is played out.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, we can take that, though, from our perspective, and we can say, hey, no, like Scott just said, there mm-hmm. are a lot of folks out here who are recognizing the fact that there is a lot of crooked stuff going on in the judicial system. And these types of activities, these types of situations will make people take note.
That's right. Yeah. And we want to give everybody who's willing, we want to give them all a trumpet, because we want to sound the alarm in America to say, hey, this is what's going on with our judicial system. This is what's going on with crooked judges and crooked prosecutors. They need to be held accountable. And if we all get a, you know, one person standing there trying to shout with their voice may not be heard too easy, but you get a bunch of people and give them all trumpets and tell them, let's all together blast off and get attention so that everybody can hear that what we have to say. And Scott, we're right there with you. You let us know what day. Make sure it's warm. and we're right there with you.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, Cliff, warm is relative. I mean, you know,
that's true.
49 degrees in Colorado is warm. So, you know. But anyway, hey, at the top of the hour, we're going to have our exoneree moment, and we're going to talk a little bit about women who are incarcerated and being wrongfully convicted. We'll be bringing Gloria Killian on, as well as a little bit after that, we'll be bringing on LaWanna Clark. So, Ethel, why don't you set the stage for us as far as some of the things that with women in prison and you know, some of the things on the fact sheet, and we can talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, there are just so many different things out there that women go through, you know, in prison just because they are women, you know. And this one fact sheet that I'm looking at, talking about the issues of sexual assault and misconduct against women in prison. And there's a statement at the top of this that says, the imbalance of power between inmates and guards involved the use of direct physical force and indirect force based on the prisoner's total dependency on officers for basic necessities and the guard's ability to withhold privileges. Some women are coerced into sex for favors such as extra food, personal hygiene products, or just to avoid punishment. You know, and these things are just, this is just horrible, you know. And I'm looking at this thing talking about powerlessness and humiliation, and there's 148,200 women in state and federal prisons. Can you imagine what these women are going through when they are, you know, approached by guards who want to sexually abuse them and stuff like that?
And, you know, Ethel, the next stat in that line says that 70% of the guards are male.
In female prisons.
Now, you know, I'm just going to say it, men are dogs.
We
know that.
I'm telling you.
And I'm not going to say all of them fall in that category.
No, not all of them, but the whole.
When you talk about this thing, Ethel, and you're talking about, you know, that they are withheld privileges.
Yes.
You know, and not to even mention, you know, some of the other things that could possibly go on behind.
They really don't have any privileges as it is.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're going to withhold what they've got for sexual favors? Is that why you got this job in the first place?
Well, and even in the situation that we have seen in other situations where, you know, it makes you wonder as to are some of the guards on some kind of power trip or something? And, you know, it makes you wonder, it's like, why do you feel like you have to oppress someone?
Exactly.
Why do you feel as though you have to treat someone as being less than humane?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you look at the IRP-6, and you find, you know, there are guards there at that facility who, you know, realize that these guys are decent men and that they didn't do anything wrong. But you have other folks who want to feel like they just got to put their thumb on somebody. We're going to come back after the break, and we're going to talk more about women in prison. We're going to have Gloria Killian on. So, Ethel, I'll turn that over to you when we come back. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. President Obama said today that extending unemployment insurance is a no-brainer and urged House Republicans to quickly extend jobless benefits for 3 months. The president appealed to GOP lawmakers to support a 90-day extension of unemployment insurance for roughly 1.3 million Americans who have been out of work for longer than 26 weeks. Long-term unemployment insurance, which is federally funded and helps states that have exhausted their own coffers, expired on December 28th. Flanked at the White House this morning by a group of voters who would benefit from the legislation, Obama urged Republican leaders to quickly take up the measure, which is nearing passage in the Senate.
We've got to get this across the finish line without obstruction or delay.
Republicans, however, say the $6.4 billion legislation should be paid for with cuts to other areas of the federal budget. They argue that because the national unemployment rate has dropped to 7%, extending benefits should not be classified as emergency spending, which historically is not subject to offsets. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
You are listening to AJC Radio.
Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I kind of got distracted. My production room folks are kind of hanging with that. I jumped in there a little too soon. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, along with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez.
Yes.
And, you know, we got a show tonight where we're talking about women and women in prison. Mm-hmm. And as part of our exoneree moment, we're going to be bringing Gloria Killian on here in a moment. But Ethel, before the break, we were looking at this fact sheet on women in prison. So what else can we talk about on that?
You know, I was looking at, you know, talking about the correctional officers subjected female inmates to rape and other sexual assault, sexual extortion, groping, doing body searches. And they watch women undress in the shower, the toilet. They retaliate often brutally against the females who complain about that type of harassment. You know, that stuff is I mean, how much worse can it be for a woman in prison? These are men, but you also have women guards who are doing some of that stuff to women in prison.
And that's when it just, I mean, it gets horrendous at that
point. Oh, my goodness.
Now, Ethel, what's this other thing as far as, you know, women who have to give birth?
You know what? That
in
is,
prison.
That's an amazing thing, because even with the medical stuff, it was talking about how a lot of women who are pregnant, who are being denied medical care and stuff like that. And also it's saying that there are 33 states across the country where pregnant inmates, including women being held exclusively for immigration-related offenses, can be shackled to their hospital bed during the birthing process.
Wow.
Can you I mean, well, you're not a woman, but I tell you what, that hurts me, and I'm not even pregnant. I mean, you don't just thinking about going through something like that and being shackled to the bed while you're trying to give birth to a kid, you're shackled.
They think she's going to get up and run while she's in labor?
Whatever, something.
I mean, you know what? I like to look at a lot of shows on Discovery and that type of thing. And, you know, and you see things of birth on a farm, and, you know, and a lot of times, you know, they'll have a cow in cage.
Yeah.
Basically. Mm-hmm. Now they're helping the cow give birth and all this kind of stuff, but still they got the cow's head up into, you know, a fence and everything else. And this is just ridiculous.
And they're talking about using leg irons, waist chains, handcuffs behind the body during labor or delivery. Are you kidding
me?
Makes
no sense.
This is I mean, I don't even know what you could even compare this kind of stuff to.
Well, let's get ready to bring Gloria on, and let's hear Gloria's story, and then I'm sure Gloria will, after we talk a little bit about her story, she'll be able to share some more with us on the overall subject of women in prison, and then we'll be bringing LaWanna Clark on here shortly. So, Ms. Killian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you this evening?
I'm good, Sam. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well,
thanks for
being on the show, and I understand. Mm-hmm. I know when Ethel and Regina and Gwendolyn got back from the Innocence Project conference last year, you know, they were talking about, you know, meeting you and what such a wonderful lady you are. And I know you have a book that you've written. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I wanted to start the year off with having you as part of our exoneree moment. And Gloria, you're the first lady that we've had on for our exoneree moment. And, but at any rate, we want you to share your story with us, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it. So your story started back in December of 1981.
That's correct. On December 9th, 1981, there was a home invasion robbery in Sacramento, California. And the victim was a coin collector. And so the police immediately suspected coin dealers and people in that field. In fact, there had been a series of robbery murders, coin dealers and coin collectors. Apparently they were a somewhat unpleasant lot that was notorious for doing harm to each other. I worked for a coin collector, but I was going to law school at the time. It was a part-time job, and I did not work in the store. I didn't have anything to do with coin collecting at all. He and his partner were dissolving their partnership. It was really acrimonious. And so there's a lot to do, like skip tracing, you know, finding people, going to files and doing things like that. And that's all that I was doing. On December 15th, they called my boss, Virgil Fletcher. They took him down to police headquarters and they questioned him. And then the next day they came to where I work. And they asked me if I would come down and answer a few questions. And I really didn't seem like it was that serious to me. I thought they wanted to talk about Virgil because I wasn't connected to the coin business itself. Well, the minute we got into the interrogation room, things changed tremendously. Wow. The first thing they did was read me my rights, and then they started, you know, telling me that they knew that I had planned this, that I was the mastermind, and blah, blah, blah. And they went at me for about 4.5 hours.
Wow.
And we were getting nowhere fast because they kept saying, yes, you did, and I kept saying, no, I didn't. And I didn't have any information to give them because I didn't know anything about it. As I said, I didn't work in the coin shop. So I was a little bit startled when they stood up and said, fine, you're under arrest for murder, and you're going to be charged with the death penalty. And I just stared at them. I was in shock. I think the term surrealistic doesn't even begin to discover, doesn't even begin to cover what I was thinking and feeling. I was just stunned because it didn't make any sense to me. I didn't work in the shop. I didn't know the victims. I didn't know anything about them. And I really didn't know that much about the coin business itself. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So,
Yeah,
Gloria, I was going to ask a quick question, and I may have to have you hold that thought here just for a moment. But one of the things that when I was reading your story, and it stated that you actually spent, 4 months in jail before, and then the charges were initially were dropped. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the first time. I was in custody for 4.5 months. I had a great lawyer, and the case was thrown out because there was no evidence against me.
Wow. And so how did it come about that the charges were brought back up? And I read this about Massey and how, you know, there was this deal that was cut or something like that.
It's a famous old story. And it's how we run the judicial system in this country today. And it's even, you know, a joke. People will tell you, hey, whoever talks, walks. Well, Gary Massey, who never said a word about me or anybody else, as far as I recall, during his trial was convicted, and he was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole, which in California means exactly that. And so the same day that he was taken to court and sentenced, he went back to the jail, picked up the phone, called the sheriff's investigators and said, I can help you. They took him back to court. They recalled his sentence, which is possible to do in California during the first 120 days. And they basically taught him what they wanted him to say. There was a new prosecutor on the case. The other problem was I was out of money, so I couldn't afford, you know, the really fantastic lawyer I'd had the first time.
Wow.
And I thought that, as it turned out, my attorney's father was a very well-known criminal defense lawyer. And I thought, well, maybe it'll be okay. Well, it's not hereditary, and it wasn't okay.
Mm. Hey, Gloria, hold that thought. Mm-hmm. And we have to take one little short break, and then we're going to continue, and then we'll have to take another hard break is all, you know, that's part of the business. So, but hold that thought, Cliff.
I'd like to let you in on a little secret. Those of us who love America are about to roll out the big guns. We can't bring serious anti-communists like Joe McCarthy, Ronald Reagan, and Barry Goldwater back onto the air, but we think we found the next best thing, and it starts on Thursday, January 16th. Patriot, writer, broadcaster, and conservative intellectual Lisa Richards is joining conservativenationmedia.com on the 16th of January at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central with Rock and Roll Politics. If William F. Buckley were around today, Lisa would be his favorite broadcaster, and she'll be yours too. Lisa Richards, Rock and Roll Politics, starting Thursday, January 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
All right. So, Gloria, and we're going to have to take another hard break here in another minute and a half, so I want to give you a heads up on that. But as far as the attorney support, you couldn't find anyone that would take the case pro bono. I mean, it seems to me, just like, you know, some of the other stories that we've heard as far as exonerees and the IRP6, that your case is one where the facts are clear, and that you didn't do anything. Yet the system is designed to ensure that a conviction. And that's one of the things that we hate is when prosecutors go after this thing.
Absolutely.
Of a win at any cost.
Yeah.
Well, you've actually got two questions in there. One, when you hire an attorney, you don't know for sure, so you go by reputation and what people say. Mm-hmm. As I said, my attorney's father was an excellent criminal defense lawyer, was his partner. I was hoping he would be as good. He was not. But secondly, some of it I can't even blame on my attorney because they suppressed the evidence, they hid it, they lied, they did everything conceivable in order to ensure that they would get a conviction. And that's a very hard thing to do battle against. You know, how do you argue about a piece of evidence that they tell you doesn't exist?
Right.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, Gloria, when we come back, let's talk a little bit about some of your experiences while incarcerated.
Yeah.
And we know that you spent 17 years incarcerated, and you were able to help a lot of other people. And I'm reading here about some folks who helped you as well with your exoneration. So we'll be right back with Gloria Killian with our exoneree moment. And this is the Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Or together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi. This is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Ethel Lopez and Cliff Stewart joining me, Sam Thurman, here on the Tuesday night edition of AJC Radio on ConservativeNationMedia.com. On the phones this evening, we have Gloria Killian for our exoneree moment. And Gloria was sentenced to 32 years to life in prison for a crime that she did not do. And she ended up spending 17 years in prison and before, you know, being exonerated. Again, welcome to the program, Gloria. Before the break, you were talking about how, you know, some of the things with regard to the attorney and how some things didn't go right. And, you know, as I was reading your story and I saw where one of the things that and you can correct me on this or you can expound on it as far as one of the things that broke in your case was the fact of this letter where Massey wrote to the prosecutors and was complaining about the fact that they weren't holding up their end of the deal and that he had lied for them and everything. And how did that come about?
He actually wrote three of them. I don't know what caused him to write them, although I believe from what I've heard from various people was I know something was happening in the prison where he was sentenced to the reception center, and I guess he complained about it, and they threw him in the hole. He certainly didn't appreciate that because he was used to being treated, you know, like their favorite inmate. Mm-hmm. So he wrote to the DA, and the DA suppressed that letter. And then he wrote a couple more letters. He, you know, denied it to various people. He had told he had claimed that his cousin was the shooter. But, you know, who knows? Who knows who was even there? But how it came to light was that his cousin, who was the one of us who did receive the death penalty, had a great legal team out of Fresno. And they found a great deal of this information. They contacted me, and they came to see me, and they said, you know, we know you're innocent. We have all this information. Probably the most one of the most important pieces of evidence that was suppressed was that the prosecutor made a deal with Gary Massey in which he said he'd be resentenced to 25 years to life if he cooperated with them. And then in court they denied there was such an agreement.
Wow.
And you have things like that. They suppress the letters. They're blatantly lying. Then go in court and lie. They're saying they never made the deal. But what ended up happening to the prosecutor in your case? What ended up happening to them after you spent almost 20 years of your life behind bars? What type of sentence did the prosecutor get when it was found that they were lying and withholding evidence?
Actually, my case went on for 25 years. And in the last three of it, my prosecutor was brought up on charges by the State Bar Association. And I have one of the very few cases in the country where that happened. He was found guilty of misconduct, and he was sanctioned, which means that he received a letter of reprimand. But it was just 3 weeks ago that the first prosecutor in the country was sent to prison, and that was in the Michael Morton case, which is another wrongful conviction case. And he got 60 days. Michael Morton not only lost his life, he spent 20 years in prison.
And you know,
and
this
the prosecutor got 60 days.
This slap on the wrist stuff is for the birds.
It
you know,
is.
They should not have this blanket immunity or this or like you say the sanctions. These sanctions amount to nothing. And we were talking about this on a program last week where you know these guys they do this and even if they lose their law license, guarantee you that they are going to show up
somewhere.
Working for some consultant firm, probably making more money
exactly.
than they were making when they were an attorney or a public servant, so to speak.
Exactly, and to get a letter of sanction, like you're sanctioned, we're going to send a letter. To who? Who gets the letter?
Yeah,
who
really?
Knows that, you know, it's not like they come out in the public and get on national television and say, hey, we need to get an interview with Anderson Cooper and so he can ensure that this prosecutor is exposed to the world. No, they take a letter and they stuff it in their file up under everything else. And it never comes to light that this guy is guilty of corruption, misconduct, and to put something like misconduct, no, this is not misconduct. This is blatant. You're a liar. You hid truth. You hid evidence.
Yeah.
You saw to it that a person went to prison for almost 20 years, 25 years of your life was spent fighting this. And he gets a letter put in his file. That kind of crap right there, that is the biggest crock of crap I've ever heard.
Yes, it is.
And that's why we always say they should get day for day. For every day you spent
that's
in there,
right.
he should be sitting behind bars, understanding what he put you through as an innocent person that never had anything to do with the crime while he ensured that he got a conviction.
That's right.
And you know,
people
Gloria,
have to, yeah,
go ahead.
People have to realize that if there were consequences, it wouldn't happen so much.
That's right.
I mean, if you know you're going to get your hand chopped off, you're going to be really careful about what you're doing. But if you know that there are no consequences, then you're just going to go right ahead and do whatever it is that you want to do. And that's where the real problem lies. Judges, police have consequences. Judges have consequences. Mm-hmm. Everyone does, except for prosecutors. They have absolute immunity.
Yeah,
and it's
well,
got to change.
And at the federal level, though, judges are even. I mean, it's like this.
Right.
It's like a brick wall, a 5 foot cinder block
that.
Wall with steel inlays in
and
there,
and a moat around it.
Yeah, and so it's yeah. those are the kind of things, Gloria, that we are pushing for reform. So, in August of 2002, you were released. Is that correct?
Yes, but I was still. I was released on a $200,000 bail, and I was put on federal probation.
Wow.
And my case was actually reversed in April. I'm sorry, it was reversed in March, but they wouldn't let me out. The district attorney made sure that I couldn't get out by filing multiple motions all the time.
See, that right there, that stinks.
Now, he already knows he hid the evidence.
Yep.
He did wrong. He put you in there for all these years for nothing, and then when they find out that he's a liar and a crook,
mm-hmm.
then he tries to fight to keep you in there. At that, when do you say, you know what, yeah, I'm caught, enough is enough, let's go ahead and let this woman out? I mean, this is ridiculous. He needs to be in prison. He should be on death row. They should be prepping the needles for him right now.
Yeah, and I wanted to jump to a little something else, Gloria, and just curious how with the women in prison and the things that we were talking about on the fact sheet and stuff. Is there any of that stuff that you were ever subjected to, or any of the women around you, or anything like that?
Yeah, I saw a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I was appointed as the law clerk from the very beginning. Which mm-hmm. was lucky for me because I was able to help a lot of the women. And also, I never got into the mix. And I was known to be a fighter. Mm-hmm. So they don't mess with people like me. And the other thing is, you know, I just stayed away from them. I didn't work for custody. I didn't have a lot to do with custody, which was fine with me. And I just stayed away from them. But the problem... And I can't remember who was making the remark earlier, but mm-hmm. you were talking about preying on women, and I believe it was you, Ethel, were subjecting them to rape and sexual harassment and stuff. They look for women that are easy prey. Many of the women, and I would say probably 75 to 80% of the women in prison, have been sexually, physically, mentally, or emotionally abused. And some of them are prime victims. You can see it happening in front of you. It's like watching a dog cut sheep. It's that obvious. So, you know, I didn't have a lot of problems that way. You know, I had only one or two incidents. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it wasn't going to happen to me.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Gloria.
I made up my mind about that a long time ago. It was not going to happen to me.
There you go. Hey, we're going to bring LaWanna Clark in on this conversation, and I don't know if you heard us talking about LaWanna's case earlier, but LaWanna was wrongly convicted in a federal case, and she went to prison in 2010 and was sentenced to a federal prison camp for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, LaWanna has shared some stories on with regard to the conditions and that type of thing, and I noticed in reading your story, Gloria, where it talks about your prison was near a factory, and you had to breathe toxic fumes, and you ended up having respiratory issues and all that type of thing. But let's bring LaWanna in on the call. LaWanna, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, LaWanna. Thanks for joining the call. And,
you're very welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. LaWanna, meet Gloria Killian, and she's... part of our exoneree moment for the evening, and so I wanted to bring LaWanna in as well to just talk about some of the things and experiences with regard to conditions in the federal prison. So, LaWanna, what were some of the things that you noticed as far as affecting women in prison?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't there as long as Gloria?
Right.
Yeah, hi, Gloria. I wanted to say hi. I was listening to your story. I think it's just horrendous that you had to go through such an ordeal. I've heard a lot about women's prisons and different things that happen and what women go through. I think it's so horrible. I was in a prison camp for about 6 months, so I know a lot of things that I hear you talking about I didn't experience, but yet there still was a lot of things that I thought was very, very wrong and unfair, and they were mistreated so much, just being mistreated just because they were there. And there was a lot of women I spoke with that were should never have been there either. It seems that for the most part, most of the people that are there really shouldn't be there. That's what you constantly ran up against. But even if they were supposed to be there, there's a way that we treat human beings. Regardless to the fact that their freedom is taken away is enough. But to me, the guards always treated the women as if, because you're in prison, you should be strong as a man is. And I thought that was so stupid, because I would see they would have these huge, heavy milk containers. And, I mean, I don't know what they weighed, but they had to be heavy. The men would struggle with them. And so we were in the cafeteria one day, and this girl was trying to pick up, and the guard's there, and they're like, pick this up. And she said she's trying to pick it up. She can't pick it up. And she wasn't a very, even if she had been large, it would have been difficult, but this was this small little woman, and he's telling her, pick this up. And I'm thinking, all right, you're standing right there, you're doing nothing, why can't you pick it up? And I didn't say anything, but this is what I'm thinking all the time. I'm thinking, why don't you just pick it up? So he gets this attitude with her and kind of shrugs her and gets her out the way and just grabs it and picks it up. I thought, well, you should have picked it up in the first place. I mean, and then they would work those women. Because I was in Arizona, it was very, very, very hot. There are no words
to describe
the heat. And then they would literally go up. They would have them women out in that heat all day. Some of them that had those particular jobs were out in that heat all day, up on these roofs and doing all this hard labor. And the pennies they were paying them was just atrocious. I'm thinking, but with women, I mean, regardless of the fact that women are equal in this country is supposed to be, we are not as strong as men are. The strongest of women, for the most part, are not as strong as a man is. And so, but they want to treat them like, well, you're not considered a female at this point. You're just considered somebody in prison. You should be. It doesn't matter whatever you do, just do it. Yeah, and it made me sick. It made me sick.
Luana, hold that thought.
You're not considered.
And Gloria, hold that thought, and this is the Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice, and stand by. Go ahead, Cliff.
One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did.
I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books, because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. But here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is
fundamental.
A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
the odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Just Call It Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman, Cliff Stewart, and Ethel Lopez. On the phones, we have Gloria Killian for our exoneree moment. Also, we have LaWanna Clark, and Gloria was sharing her story, and LaWanna was sharing some experiences with regard to women in prison. And Gloria, I know that, and I mentioned it before, and from the standpoint that you ended up suffering some respiratory issues as a result of, or some kidney issues, I guess, because of the way they medicated you as a result of the chemical plant that was nearby, and you guys are breathing toxic fumes. I mean, was there any, you know, sense of urgency to ensure that, that you know, you guys were not exposed to this danger, or just people didn't care?
Now, it's a very strange story, and it's all about politics. Because the Department of Corrections fought them for something like 7 years. They joined in a lawsuit with the surrounding farmers, but it had to do with a political deal made in Sacramento. And the interesting part is that any guard or employee of the prison who contacted the company, they were compensated. They were allowed to transfer, but nothing was ever done with the inmates. It wasn't, this one had nothing to do with the prisons whatsoever. In fact, they hated it as much as we did. But politics overruled everything. And there was apparently a great deal of money involved.
Yeah, like the employees can, they have the right to be healthy and to be moved away from toxic chemicals. But, you know, they treat the prisoners like you guys are, I don't know, experimental animals or something. It's totally ridiculous.
Well, and I think I remember when at the facility where LaWanna was, and LaWanna, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you guys, even in your chapel, the chapel was closed down at one time because of rain damage and
black mold
infestation and that type of thing. Was that the case in that situation, LaWanna?
Yes, it was. They condemned it because it was so bad. I don't know if a fire started in it or if it just. I think it just dry rotted and got worse and worse and worse. I mean, they said they had to condemn it, so there was no place to go for religious services or what have you until they finally kind of opened up a room where people could go here and there at times. But and then the entire time I was there, it never got. Reconstructed, and they said they were going to rebuild it and all this stuff. They kept saying it, and the girls kept saying, oh, no, they're not. They've been saying that forever. They're not going to redo anything. And,
wow.
And they never did. It never did get – it just was sitting there padlocked and closed up, and they wouldn't let anybody in there because of the how bad it was.
Yes.
So
okay.
it was a very sad situation, very sad.
Yeah.
On the phones, we have –
I want to hit on a really good point. In fact, I would take it even further when she was saying that it's the guards view women inside differently. Mm-hmm. I think that guards and prison administrators and most of the people in this country view inmates as closer to animals than to human beings. From the minute you hit the gate, you are nothing. And they make a serious point of telling you that in every conceivable way. And that's why you're abused.
Yes, it is. And, I mean, you're treated like, don't try to act like you're somebody important in here, because you're not. You're just another piece of trash.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you're treated. It really is.
You are a piece of trash, and that's exactly what it is. And it's, I know if you go to the medical department, California is somewhat different. We've been through, oh God, years of lawsuits, and we're still under federal supervision. But the first thing they tell you is that you're lying.
Yes.
If you have
yes.
any medical training, can't you tell by looking?
That's true. That's true.
I mean,
and the girls would get in line. You'd have to get in line in the cold. If you were going, you have to go. They said you could go see the doctor. It was like 6 to 7 in the morning. If it's cold or freezing cold,
6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and that time when I was there, when it was in March and April, it was very cold in the morning, very cold. And so if it warmed up, it was later in the day. And you would have to sit there in line, and it took forever for the doctor to see you. And then when he saw you, I mean, it's never a real concern or really checking you out. It's a routine. And everything that's wrong with you, they gave you some ibuprofen. Everything, no matter what, if you for your tooth, if it was your back, if you had a cold, if you had chest pains, if no matter what was wrong, they gave you ibuprofen. Ibuprofen was not a cure-all for everything, and it wasn't even the good ibuprofen. It was some kind of pill they called ibuprofen. I'm thinking, what is this? But I never got really sick in there anyway, but I went for my lower back so I could get the shoes, wear tennis shoes, but some of the girls, I'm thinking, these girls are sick and don't even think about needing a real dental checkup and really getting a tooth pulled or you're in pain. It was like, yeah, we'll get to you. They said the doctor will be back, and they said he'll pull my tooth in 3 weeks. Well, my God, you could be, your whole mouth could be fell out in 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah,
and sometimes it was longer than that, and I'm thinking, you don't care anything. The medical thing is nothing but a farce. That doctor, if he is a real doctor, came in there to perpetrate a fraud, and then he was gone. This was nothing. It was not real in the least bit. These were not real professional medical people, and they don't care. And the women if they really fell out or passed out, they call an ambulance and take them out to the hospital or something. But it was no concern. I mean, you have to literally be crawling and dying and bleeding from your mouth before they would even do anything.
Our number this evening is 718-305-7176. Again, 718-305-7176. On the phones this evening, we have Gloria Killian for our exoneree moment, and also joining in on the conversation is LaWanna Clark. Cliff,
America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution Community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
Again, our number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Cliff, let's go to the phones.
All right, we have on the phone Lamont Banks. Are you with us, Mr. Banks?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, doing
yeah,
good.
Thanks.
Good to hear from you.
First of all, I salute, is it Gloria, I believe?
Yes.
For what you have been through is with listening to this story and to LaWanna, it's really heart-wrenching is what it is. And it moves you to tears, to be honest with you. I wanted to share real briefly something that I had seen during my false incarceration as well. As far as the medical terms, as you guys address those issues, they give animals more care and more concern and more treatment than what they do inmates in this country. So
yes.
I understand you referenced they treat them like animals. No, animals have the upper hand. We're treated lower than that. And I went through a great deal of suffering and seeing people. I've seen people actually die in front of me. I've seen people beg for medical help and were turned away. I personally didn't know as in my particular story after getting out, almost died. Went into intensive care from a diabetic coma. Had no idea I was diabetic, and I remember prior to getting out, I would have blackouts in the cell to the point I would collapse. I sat one night all night on the floor, on a cement concrete floor in the hole, without any concern. I knocked on the door and told the guard, "Hey, man, I can't breathe. I can't see. I'm numb on my left side. I'm in some pain." I didn't know I was diabetic, of course, at that time. The bottom line is, had these things or situations happened to me to the point of what happened to me upon getting out of prison, had that happened behind the wall, I would be dead today. That is the bottom line. And there was a gentleman friend of mine who was in one part of the prison, and he actually had over 25 different requests to be seen. They ignored this man's issue for a year. He died prior to me getting out of the penitentiary.
Wow.
And all of that is kept hush-hush. All of that is kept under the rug, because guess what? That's somebody's mother, that's somebody's father, that's somebody's sister, that's somebody's brother. And as long as this perpetrating of care that they show the American people in this country, that we are so much better than everybody else, as long as they're allowed to perpetrate that, you will have victims like Gloria, like Moana, as myself, and the thousands who suffer at the hand of a system. This country should be ashamed of themselves. Something has to be done. I appreciate what you guys are doing out there.
Hey, Lamont, hold that thought. We got to take a break. Our number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we have on the phones this evening Gloria Killian. Also joining in on the conversation is LaWanna Clark, and then we'll come back to Lamont on that call here right after this break. We'll be right back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electrosynth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at FeedThePig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Wow.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hello. I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. On the phones this evening, Gloria Killian, LaWanna Clark, and also let's go back to Lamont. Lamont, I want to give you an opportunity to finish your thought there, and
sure.
Then we're going to bounce back to Gloria.
Okay, yeah, and I was saying here, I remember a particular incident that happened in prison. If an inmate goes down in a cell that's next to you, it is protocol for all the inmates to yell, man down, to get the attention of the guards. Now, there was a gentleman there, and this was actually the entrance unit that you go to when you get at Buena Vista Correctional Facility of Buena Vista. That place is pretty horrific, to be honest with you. And this guy was suffering a seizure. He hit the ground off of his bunk. He was on the top bunk, should have never been up there, hit the ground, and he began to chew on his tongue. He was bleeding. The blood was everywhere. So the people were yelling, man down, man down. The guard sat in the station and said, well, he'll be all right. Just tell him to lay down. And they said, man, this guy is dying down here, man. He's going to die. They said there was so much blood that, you know, the big commercial trash cans, the little plastic gray commercial trash cans you see in most schools, the lid right. of that trash can was to the top with blood. That's how much blood this man was losing that quickly.
Uh-oh.
Had we not almost engaged in a riot, that man would have been left there to die. He'd have been dead. So my position is that this is an outrage. And because the American people are not aware, they're becoming aware as a result of what a Just Cause is doing, and we're grateful with other organizations, the Innocent Projects, Gloria's voice being heard out there. If we don't get the word out, they just get this facade like, oh, your loved ones are in good care. They're being taken care of. That is the biggest joke that could ever come out the mouth of anybody that represents this judicial system in this country. It is a tragedy. And I am grateful that I was able to make it through that. But I'm going to tell you, the impact has never left.
Right, right. Well, Lamont, thanks for your call, and thanks for sharing your thoughts. Gloria, let's go back to you. We are on the downside of the program, and then Luana, we'll get some closing thoughts from you as well. But Gloria, I understand that you have authored a book, and it's called Full Circle,
yes.
The True Story mm-hmm. of Murder, Lies, and Vindication. And then you also started an organization. So tell us very briefly about your book, and then also the organization that you have started.
Well, the book is called Full Circle because it starts with my arrest, and it ends with my district attorney's trial, which I thought gave it a nice touch. And it gives you the details of what happened through, you know, 25 years of this insanity. And the organization is the Action Committee for Women in Prison. And we're an advocacy agency, but basically we have three goals. We want to get women out of prison. We want to make it conditions better for women that are inside. And we want to ensure that women are treated justly, not just in custody itself, but in the conditions and the cases that cause them to go to prison for such lengthy periods of time. I mean, we were able to change the law in California, but California is the only state that has changed the law regarding battered women who kill their abusers who can get back into court. And people have spent 35, 45 years in there for defending themselves. And that wouldn't happen to them today, but what about those that are left behind? So that is our basic purpose. We just finished doing 4,800 gift bags for every woman who's incarcerated in both in California.
4,800?
Yeah, we did all of Southern California. We did the state prison, and then we did the Los Angeles County Jail.
Wow. That's awesome, Gloria.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how can folks get in contact with you to help support the Action Committee for Women in Prison?
You can reach us. You can go to our website, which is acwip.net or acwip.net at WordPress. You can find me on, and my organization as well, on Facebook, on Twitter. You can email me at acwip@yahoo.com, and you can reach me at 626-710-7543. If
say
you would
that
like
number.
To donate, 626.
Say that number again, Gloria.
626
710-7543.
Okay.
If you'd like to donate or volunteer or just express your opinion or if we can help you in some way, please get a hold of us. Because this is what we're trying to do, what you're trying to do, what LaWanna's trying to do, what everyone is trying to do is to make sure that what happened to us doesn't happen to you.
Exactly.
Well, Gloria, we want to thank you for spending the last hour with us. Very enlightening. We appreciate the work that you're doing. And
yes.
Please know that you always have a platform here on A Just Cause and A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where if you need to get your word out about something, we can definitely find space for you on our airwaves. And I know that our Twitter team and our Facebook team and so forth will be linking up with you and helping to support
good,
that.
Good.
Gloria Killian.
That's great.
Thank you very much, Gloria. LaWanna.
And thank you.
Closing thoughts, LaWanna, as far as tonight's program and what you would like folks to take away from the program this evening.
Yes. I just think that we have got to continue this fight against this injustice that's in our justice system, that that people don't end up wrongly convicted and incarcerated unjustly, such as myself and others. It is so unfair, and for that woman to spend 17 years of her life is just the living end. And every time you look up, you're constantly hearing of this. People have got to open their eyes and deal with it. I mean, everybody wants to believe that we got the best this, and United States is the place to be, and it's not true. It's not true because things have gotten out of hand, and people are taking the law into their own hands, doing what they want to do. They're free to do to mistreat and degrade and hurt people, and nothing's done about it. Something has to be done about it. And I think it's just got to be, and I'm glad that I can be a voice to say the time that I spent there unjustly that was so unfair and so wrong, it put a fire and a desire in me that I can't even describe. Because when I hear of someone else that has went through this and the years upon years of people's lives that are being destroyed and being taken from them, it's just such a heart-wrenching, sad thing. And I think it's just got to be, people have got to stand up, they've got to fight, and they can't quit. And A Just Cause and all the other organizations out there that say, hey, we got to push this, we got to fight, we got to stand up until something changes. That's the thing. You can't give up. You got to stay in the fight and fight it until we win. And I think that's what's going to happen. And I'm so glad to have been a part of this.
Awesome, awesome.
Right.
Thank you very much,
thank
LaWanna.
You. Yeah.
So this evening, we'd like to say thanks to Gloria Killian, LaWanna Clark, Lamont Banks for calling in just a moment ago. And, you know, this was a good program talking about, and we can expand on this. There's a lot more to cover on this subject, Ethel. And so,
yeah.
You know, this is one we're going to have to revisit as far as women in prison. And you know, Lamont brought one thing home from the standpoint that, you know, some of the things is, I would say, gender neutral.
Yeah,
in the
really.
Sense as far as when
it's
it comes
true.
To prison experience. And there are a lot of things that need to be corrected.
That's
in
right.
the entire system,
yeah.
all the way across the board. So we want to be sure that folks keep the IRP6 in prayer. Gary Walker, David Banks, Dave Zappolo, Demetrius Harper, Kendrick Barnes, and Clinton Stewart.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
need, and you know, we are praying that our brothers will be home soon. We want to say thank you to Mark Garagos, Tina Glandian, Gwendolyn Solomon, and Cornell Johnson as far as the attorney team that's working on a lot of things associated with this case. Ethel, how can folks help out the IRP6?
Yes, again, we ask people to call Eric Holder's office, Attorney General Eric Holder at 202-514-2003 and 2005. Ask him to investigate the case of the missing transcript. And also we ask you to have three of your friends call and do the very same.
And then we also have that petition out there on change.org. Go out there on change.org, do a search on IRP6, sign that petition. And then when you sign it, put a comment in there as to why you signed it. You know, on previous shows, we've actually read some of those comments. And it's some very good comments that folks are making out there. Cliff.
Yeah, I want to say thank you to all of our guests. And everybody in the chat room, we appreciate you guys coming out and letting us know your feelings and being here with us tonight. We want to say thank you to our support team for K&D Production, Captain Kyle and Dustin Jackson in the back room, helping out Ill Skillers Girl, helping us to get it done tonight. To the truth, we know that you're out there, and we appreciate you. And to our media support team, we couldn't get it done without you guys. We appreciate you.
Scott Osborne, Jay Arrington, thanks for joining in on the call. Hey, Scott, I wrote down snowballs and wagon wheels. So, you know, we're looking forward to making some things happen this year. Just Cause joining in along with other folks and aligning all of us together.
Yeah.
Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Good night, America.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.